go ahead and get started if everyone can find a seat. Good morning and welcome. Before our official meeting begins, we have a briefing by our fund manager, Candace Powers. Powers, we'll turn the time to you.
Good morning. Thank you, Board, for your efforts to get here so that you can enjoy this lovely building. If the lawnmower comes by again, then I'll speak louder.
What?
This is, in case you didn't look at your calendar, this is September 8th. Normally our meeting would have been last week, but kudos to the Univation for putting on a lovely energy summit. We were there last week, and it was just well-planned, well-organized. I don't know what happened to the lady who wanted to share the floor, but you get one of those, or two, or seven. This is the third meeting of the first trimester of 2017, so this is the third review meeting. You've had the two previous to review applications. This is the third one. They'll all be put on the priority list today. November, or the next meeting is October 6th. It will be at the DEQ building. November 3rd is our trek to Moab. We will be staying again at the Red Cliff Lodge. Those arrangements have been made. You haven't let Chris know what room accommodations you need for how many nights. Please do so. On page 1-1-1, it shows that there are 8 new projects for board review, and they're indicated in yellow. That's not true. There are actually 7. Jensen has withdrawn their request for this trimester. You have a letter in the board package, besides your rainbow sheet, from Jensen making that withdrawal, so we won't be discussing that project at this meeting.
Can I ask a question on that? With our fund balance we have, is Jensen included in that?
Yes.
So it'd be a little less money that we need there.
Yeah, the balance wasn't revised, but it's the smallest application withdrew. The fund summary on page 1-1-2, still a positive balance in the bonus fund. Funding, in order to utilize where the available balance is, some of the requests might have to be transferred to an interest-bearing loan. Nothing else can be taken from the bonus fund. It is all an interest-bearing loan fund. The infrastructure balance reflects the funding that was returned at the August 18th meeting. And there is a throughput balance now, which isn't indicated on this, that has been set aside $4,333,334, which was the new receipt. So that's an indicator. So the board needs to remember to administer the fund, to keep a portion of that impact fund revolving. The board's current loan rate is 2.5%. That's just a benchmark. It is the board's discretion. The new rainbow sheet is in the red folder. The letter from Jensen. The blue copy will be utilized for when we discuss the Spanish Valley project, Spanish Valley Water Project. It talks about the funding that came from DEQ and some of their suggestions. When we get to that, you can look at it and discuss it. On white and yellow highlights, staples, that will be for board discussion, or with the yellow highlights, it's just a little tool. And then the previous board funding for plans is also in your packet. When we get later on in the meeting. Please sign in if you haven't signed in. Put it right back down. I'm sorry to take the wind out of anybody's sails for the minutes, but there are 2 changes that we have already discovered and made. On page 2-1-4, it's towards the bottom of the page and it's right before the final motion for the Roosevelt. We clarified it. It will now read, the substitute motion was recalled, amended, and is as follows. Just because it's a permanent record. So it said the substitute motion was amended, we clarified it. And on page 2-1-11, Chairman Heaton asked what would happen if they did not get funding for the sidewalk or the retraining wall. So we changed it to a retaining wall. If there's any problem with that, you can let me know later.
I thought we didn't say retraining.
All right. On the board agenda today, there is Jensen Water's been pulled, Ashley Valley, number 2, fire hydrant and fire flow upgrades. It's a total request for CIB of $1,334,000. Of that, it's the $534,000 30-year at 0% loan and an $800,000 grant. The DEQ has indicated that there's really no significant deficiencies at this time. Ashley Valley can speak to that. So the question would be, is there a need for this project? 2015 CIB installed 6,100 linear foot of 20-foot PVC. Is this in the same area, or where does this, in conjunction with the 2015 project? That project was $3,969,340. Number 3, Ouray Park Water Improvement District. It's also included in this 2017 water system improvements. There's an office building as well. So it's for the water system improvements and a new office building, a new district office building, which would be 1,500 square feet, and it's for storage and meeting space. The portion of this project that is for the office building appears to be $300,000. This is a water district that their water is purchased from the tribe. It has 99 connections. What they want to do is they want to do 110 radio read meters. DEQ has indicated that it may or may not be a cost-effective result, but radio read meters are always more convenient and probably more efficient. They also need a chlorine analyzer. It appears that there's $102,000 for engineering, which part is the building, which part is the water system. Number 4, Ballard Water and Sewer Improvement District request is for $1,334,000 total CIB request. Of that is $534,000 30-year at 0% loan and $800,000 grant. Geez, that sounds an awful lot like the one before. Let me double check those numbers. On the fly. No, it's for $1,865,000. Grant and $600,000 loan, so you might want to pencil that in since that was a good cut and paste. The old culinary water tank is 42 years old. It's a 200-gallon water tank. The applicant does have $10,000 in cash to put it. The question the DEQ had is this overbuilt? Excessive fire storage, they need, if they build the tank that big, they need to ensure that adequate circulation of water is accommodated to prevent stagnation when there's low demand. An interesting thing happened on a few of these. They all have fencing. This one has 800 feet of site fencing that's $25 a linear foot. The San Juan Spanish Valley has fencing that's $20 a linear foot. And another application I'll get to later has fencing, and it's $16 a square foot. So, rock, paper, scissors, who's going to win the bid? The question I would have on Ballard is the status of the site property. I think they were making that acquisition. They may indeed have it now. San Juan Spanish Valley is number five. That was submitted as a $2,550,000 total CID request. $1 million of that was for 30 years, 0% loan, and $1,550,000 grant. In your packet, in your red folder, there's the blue document. That was an email that came in yesterday afternoon saying that DEQ, who is co-funding this, has a different ratio of grants alone than they have received. They want to get, they're requesting all grants from CID. The information cited in the blue sheet is that it's a one, it reaches the benchmark of 1.75% of MAGI in reviewing with the EQ, and on site there's a lot of water systems that are more than that. That's just where they would qualify for a loan from the EQ. So when we get to that, you might want to have them have Nathan Hall from the EQ speak to the way that the EQ funded their portion. And he can give you, you know, he can do a Q&A with you. Is this a standalone water system, or are they going to hook to Grand Water, would be a question that I have. Another question we have, will they sign up enough homeowners to make this project viable? Because right now, this is going to be a new water system, and in order to make it work, then everybody has to sign on, and that revenue source has to be there. I think, for the most part, they have support for it, but that will let the applicant speak to that. Also, what's the status of connections? I said that. And status of water rights. Do they have enough water rights to establish this new water system? Number six, Oak City. They want also culinary water improvements. They have $175,000 applicant cash in this project. Their request to CID is $525,000, of which it's $175,000 30 year at 0% loan and $350,000 grant. This water system, if I am reading the review correctly, it's not in compliance with DEQ. There are some improvements that DEQ has suggested. They're going to redevelop the well. It's got diminished flow, not all the water is being collected. And they also will do a pump. The question for that is, will the aquifer sustain the higher flow that is accommodated with a pump in that spring? Before they can put this online, always they have to have plan approval from DEQ, so staff will be watching that. But DEQ will as well. The engineering on this is 21%, and the public hearing suggests the rate increase. Did they indeed do a rate increase to accommodate this funding for the improvements? Number seven is Parowan City. They have their 50% cash match. They're requesting for an implementation study, $13,500. This will be an action plan that implements the general plan that they wrote, that they prepared in 2015. What will the plan entail? They have a new city manager, so I think that he is seeking some assistance as he gets moving forward with the Parowan City general plan. It's non-impacted area, but what is the scope of the final deliverable would be the big question for this. I'm not quite sure. Couldn't do it. As described on 3-7-4, or the RPG do, a rodeo with Parowan or have been in touch with them. Anyway, that's what they're asking for. Might be an anomaly for this board, but the applicant can speak to that. Tokerville City is doing a general plan and master transportation master plan. They've got $25,000 from Dixie Metropolitan Planning Organization. What is the status of that cash? That's part of their match, and they have $19,005 in cash. They're asking $44,500 from CID. This will partly be determining how to accommodate a bypass road, and then what that would do to housing infrastructure and land use. Their general plan indicates, you can see on the map where the bypass corridor will go, and so that probably does require a little bit of review to see how that goes down. That will be the end of the new application. We have a special consideration for the town of Henryville. Earlier in the, well, in the spring, they had an emergency water situation there. They were calling all around looking for funding. It has been, the emergency itself has been accommodated, but there are retrofits now in order to bring that water system up to speed. This is an emergency request of $337,500. So my question would be, is it still an emergency, and can they wait until October 1, which is the application deadline, when we could fund it? But usually when they come in special consideration, it is suspended.
Janice, I did have one question on that. I didn't see any magi on that at all. I looked at the rate, the $32 a month rate, which, you know, I was just curious about the magi. I didn't see it.
Thank you.
I looked later on, I guess. What is it, Phil?
Well, have we done a...
Right, but what is the actual number?
Of their water cost?
Yeah, you know...
What percent of water? I don't have that. Perhaps Nathan can do a quick look on... he can make a quick call to DEQ and find out what the water rate is for Henryville. Or maybe Henryville knows. So, well, I don't know what percent of their magi is, but they are...
I just noticed that the rate in the minutes said it's $32 a month, but I didn't. Usually when we do projects, we show...
Yeah, well, this is a quick emergency come-in, so we did not have it reviewed by DEQ. If they had reviewed it, there you would have their water rate percentage, but they probably know.
So, Candace, we could find out what the median adjusted gross income is very quickly, but
I know
beginning their average water bill is a little bit more complicated.
Okay. Well, we have the magi.
Yeah. It's in the minutes that said it's $32 for us.
That's good. Then, after that, there will be a board member discussion, and I turn the time over to Chairman Heaney.
Thank you, Candace. We appreciate you and your staff. Good review. Again, welcome to the CID meeting. We'll start off with staff and board member introductions. Brenda, we'll start with you and work to Nate, and then around the front row, and then over to Gail and around to the board. So. Brenda?
I'm with the rural planning group. Kyle Slaughter with the rural planning group.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division.
Wade Fairway with Utah Attorney General's Office.
Commissioner Tudor Ogden representing Sevier County and the Six County Association.
Ron Winterton, Commissioner of Duchesne County representing the Uinta Basin AOB.
Good morning, Mike McKee, Uinta County Commissioner representing Uinta County.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner representing Carbon County.
Jonathan Hardy with the DWS Housing and Community Development.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Keith Eaton, Housing and Community Development Division, Chairman.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development Division, Fund Manager.
Chris Reed, Administrative Assistant to the Housing Committee.
Mike Gennady, representing UDOT Commission.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Jim Madsen, Kane County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments.
Greg Galecki, representing Water Quality Board.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We'd like to excuse Treasurer Dave Damption. He had a retirement fund board meeting this morning as well, and since I have money in that retirement fund, I thought that was equally important. Candace had a few clarifications on the minutes. Are there any other clarifications on the minutes?
One more.
Mr. Zanotti, please.
Page 2-1-11, rather than the notification, board was asked if they could take more loans that was to be eliminated. The board asked. Good question.
Very good. Get that, Candace?
2-1-11.
Yes. Okay. Any other corrections? Seeing none, the board will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion. We approve the minutes as corrected.
Thank you, Councilman Carroll. Is there a second to the motion? Mr. Zanotti with the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay. Moving on, this should prove to be an interesting meeting today. You know what? That is very true. The projects are all very similar in their nature and scope, yet the requests tend to be slightly different. and so the things that this board takes into consideration when determining a loan grant mix are the capacity of the location, the impact that mineral extraction has on the location. They look at the history of the applicant, how often they come to the well, and then those type of things. And so generally, given our financial situation, as Candace pointed out, we have money available to loan. We really do not have money available to grant. With water projects, depending where they're located, et cetera, the minimum we've done is kind of a 50% loan, 50% grant. Again, not having a lot of grant funding available, it would be difficult for this board to even do the 50-50. So as the applicants come forward, it's incumbent on you to explain why your project would be different than any of the other projects and more deserving of receiving any grant money at all, yet alone not taking any loan money. So I just wanted to frame that for the applicants as they come forward, that again, financially this board does not have a lot of money to grant this trimester. We do have some money to loan, but even that is limited. And so please keep that in mind as you make your request. Having said that, as Candace said, Jensen withdrew their application, so that puts $200,000 of grant back on the table, which isn't much. So our first applicant today is Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. So we'd invite them to come forward, introduce themselves, and tell us a little bit about the project. Nate, since all these are water projects, do you want to come sit up here at the side so we can call on you and everyone can hear what you have to say?
Sure. I'm Dave Hatch with the district manager for Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. This is my assistant manager, Ryan Goodrich.
Keep the same here, as you.
And we're here on a project that is a project to replace old 6-inch line with 10-inch and 8-inch to improve fire flow. One section is a mile worth of 6-inch line that is only fed on either end, and it really doesn't have enough efficient fire flow. Another one is a dead end line that was a 6-inch line and 8-inch line to improve that fire flow. Another line has been a 4-inch line to an area that they don't have any fire hydrants at all. And of course, and with this, we have 25 new fire hydrants to install to improve the availability of a fire hydrant within 500 feet of the residence. This project is one that was on our priority list of 1 year project list. And our area, even though the oil field has gone downhill, the potential for the area when the oil field, the boom and the bust cycle, as when it comes back, the potential of that area and all the resources in that area says that we should continue our ongoing process to improve the system so that when things do come back, it's available there and we don't have to come back looking for funds, emergency funds to improve our system to the point where when things do come back that we're ready for any new development that may come.
Thank you, Mayor. Nathan, is this system out of compliance with DEQ standards? And does DEQ look at fire flow capacity and those type of things?
Every 3 years we inspect every water system. So every year we inspect a few, and everyone gets it every 3 years. So when we did our last inspection, that was not noted as a deficiency. So they're not officially, I say, in trouble with the division for not meeting fire flow.
Okay.
If that were to happen, then they would be assessed what we call IPS points, stands for Improvement Priority System points. And if once those are assessed, they have 120 days to fix the problem or to enter into an agreement with us to when they will fix it. If they don't meet that deadline, then they're assessed more points and assessed a treatment technique violation. And as that goes on, then eventually they become a non-approved water system. So that process has not been started yet. Even though we can't go. But no, that process has not been started yet. That doesn't mean that what they're saying is not true. It's just that we haven't noted it as a deficiency in our database yet.
So as Mr. Hatch alluded to, this is basically preemptive to avoid that type of situation. Is that accurate?
Yes. Trying to keep ahead of it.
Right, which is admirable. Questions from the board? Commissioner McKee?
I just make a couple notes on this. I'm pretty much in non-disclosure, so I got to be careful how I say this, but I'm going to set it this way. It's my belief that there are two large projects that will have tremendous effect on Young County that's coming up. I just put that out there. I'm not saying that out there, but two very large projects that will. But I guess the point that I'm making, and I think it's been made here a little bit earlier, as a non-producing or as a heavily produced county, you know, the 0% interest rate really does. I mean, you know, we've tried to do that to give them a 0% interest rate, but also looking at our, you know, that's kind of where we're at on that. What I wondered is to try and make this so we can make our balance sheet work for everything we need to do. I'm wondering if you could take that 534 and 2.5% interest, or I don't even say it happened to be 2.5% interest, but if we could take it out of that other account.
Out of the bonus account?
Out of the bonus account. That would help our other that other fund. I know we have tried to accommodate the heavier producing counties a little bit. And so maybe if we could put that in that other account, and even if we could adjust the interest rate a little bit to 1.5% or something along that line, could you make that work if we were able to do that? If we could.
I think the board would consider that and would look favorable on that.
My question is, can we handle any more, you know, if we went 50-50 on this?
It's
not put it at $667,000, and we just look at half loan, half grant. If that, I didn't see in the minutes where you addressed any of the conditions, whether you could handle any more or not.
Would you keep that at 0% if you did that, or I guess that was my That was my thought. I was
saying, well, if we're coming out of the bonus account, you know, I think 1.5 would be meetable, and that helps us out also.
Well, as long as we're talking about that, I had an engineering question. However, again, if you look at how much is being released in bonds in the next 3 or 4 years, which is around $64,000, I kind of look at it that they could handle 100% loan at 2.5% in 30 years, if you look at the charts. And I know every applicant comes in and says it would be difficult, but it's often let them go back and see what they can do.
Yeah.
So that's.
And that was one other question that I had is in working at the rates or the water rates, if the current application is 5124, going with what Greg said, it would go to 5346 if it was 100%. And so I know that we've slid in the basin as far as you know, numbers, unemployment is high. So I'm just wondering where you are within those rates, and maybe you can explain that a little bit to us too.
Explain the water rates?
Yeah, the water rates. If there's room to go up, when was the last time it was raised? Those kind of things that would play into this.
Well, with our water board, what was raised recently was the sewer rate. The water rate has been looked at. It's been changed a little bit on the way that it is allocated out, and we've raised the overage rate, but more than they said that we shouldn't raise water rates. And we've gotten extra water from Central Utah projects, and so we've raised our impact fees to cover that extra water that comes in. And I just try to convince them that they do need to raise their water rate. From this last meeting we had in Ogden, Layton, it was expressed to us that we should be raising our water rates, if not only just to put money into a replacement fund. So that's what we need to do that.
Thank you.
Nathan, to go back to you again, does DEQ have money available to loan or grant on this project? Or have you done what you can do?
No, we could take this project. We're, if anything, in worse shape than CIB for the amount of money that we can grant. But we do have ability to go to 0% interest and take it out of the loan, our loan fund. Whereas if you guys go to 0% interest, then it takes a grant fund, right? So we can, that's why we always go to 0% interest before we start giving grants, because we're more limited on grants than the CIB is.
So Mr. Hatch, have you applied with DEQ?
No, we haven't, because Uinta County is one of the counties that contributes to the CIB, we figured that the DEQ fund is for those counties that don't have that access to the counties that contribute to that fund.
Commissioner McKee?
Thank you. So, you know, that's some really good information. If they could take, and I'm just throwing out something here, but what if could DEQ fund half of that at 0% interest when we do a half grant here? And that would save us quite a bit of money, again, on that account there.
So, yeah, we could take an application and run that through our process. It will add to your time. It'll take a few months before you could get back on drinking water's agenda. So if there's a time crunch, that doesn't work as well. One other thing I didn't mention is we've been talking about grants, but they wouldn't qualify for grants under drinking water's rules. I know it's a little bit more of a soft 1.75%, but for drinking water, if they don't meet that criteria of 1.75% of MAGI, then you can't do reduced interest or the grant. So they would be looking at a similar interest rate as you're looking at 2.5-3.5% on the loan part, unless that bump their water rate high enough that it helped them qualify for the reduced interest rate. Does that make sense?
So looking at their current water rate, do we know what those are currently at?
Yeah.
57. So currently, I calculated this 44.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
On the top of this page, which is what they're charging. But then with the what they're charging right now. But then with the expenses they have and the added loan as calculated, then the water bill would need to go up to the 50s.
And that's not going to happen with this application. Because even if we did 100%, it's 2.5%, it would still be below your required MAGI, which means they would not get a discounted loan rate.
Yeah. I mean, the Drinking Water Board can always break their own policies if there's demonstrated a need, and they have done that occasionally, but then generally they don't. So they could go to 0% interest if they felt they needed to, but in general rule of thumb, no.
Right.
So that's always a good thing to look at. Look at what they're charging. That top line of 3.25 is what we calculated the water bill is based upon billing. And then look at the top line and the grant line, and that's what it should be. So they're not quite bringing in enough to cover their expenses right now. So they do need to be looking at raising their rates to cover existing expenses. Now, sometimes, right now it's a $4 difference. Sometimes that is the irrigation water bill that will bump that up. But it's definitely something they should be looking at.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to express.
I've got one clarification.
Okay.
I'd like to ask first. In the public hearing, the fund amount that was presented to the public is $1,213,300, but yet the request is $1,334,000. Is that a typo or $1,000?
It might have been 5-4.
3-2-23 at stage what?
Yeah, there's a 1.2. And the actual request is 1.3. So. Each minute that goes by, the project gets more expensive. But their request before us is 1.3.
Did we make a motion to have a couple more questions?
So, in general, I want to know, so they're part of the fire district, is how are homes in the county, how is fire protection set up in the county if they're not part of the district?
In the county, it goes to the, basically, the UNA County Fire Marshal that is over the whole county. And so planning and zoning, when somebody comes in to get a building permit, they require that the person building that house be within 500 feet of a fire hydrant.
Even in the county?
Even in the county. Okay. We have some areas that's done, especially in the subdivisions, but there are parts of the county where there's just not fire hydrants within.
Yeah, I would think that'd be the case.
And see, that's our goal, is to get to the point where we meet that county standard.
So, and I acknowledge this is great to try to be preemptive on a lot of things, thinking ahead. But at this point, are there ways that you could, are there other options such like increasing, like pumps instead of increasing the line size or things like that?
The district is all gravity fed from the treatment plant. To basically a main line that runs along the west side of the county, the west side of the city, and then the water flows into the area. And two of these areas are on the far east side from where the main feed comes in.
So are other options entertained other than just increasing pipe size for increased flow?
That's the only thing, is just increasing that pipe size for that fire flow. When you have a subdivision that's an 8-inch line tapped into a 6-inch line,
right,
two different points,
it's
hard to get a fire flow, especially when the feeds are at the other end, half a mile away, feeding towards that subdivision. Same way on another area, and then that area where the 4-inch line, that you've never had fire flow in that area. So that's what we're trying to do, is catch all of these.
So those areas that have, they're still compliant, so if they have flow problems, certain areas, and those, they're still compliant even though some areas have 4-inch lines?
Well, we just haven't officially found out about it yet.
Can I just add one other thing? For fire flow, for water flow, it might be generally the standard with those new standards, fire flows with an 8-inch line.
You can't hook a truck up to those pipes.
Yes, right. The standard anymore, they used to, years ago, 6-inch was acceptable, but the new fire standard, generally, when I say generally, if you have way off in pressure, sometimes they may work through that. But
the standard,
but the standard is an 8-inch
line. You can't suck off the lines.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Okay.
Further questions before the motion?
I would make a motion that we go with a 50-50 on the application. We're at 1.5%, so it comes out of our bonus.
That was quick. Okay, we have a motion from...
And we didn't even hand signal either.
Mr. Winterton to do 50-50, 1.5% for 30 years, a second by Commissioner Mattson. Any discussion on the motion?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
Are we going to be consistent? We have three more projects coming online the same scope. In the past, we have done several of these water projects that have percent. Recently, we're going to say exactly the same amount of loan at 10.5. We've done the runoff at 10.5, and the ballot that's coming in the fourth online is going to be asking for 10.5. Are you going to be consistent with the next three projects if we do 1.5?
Well, I guess my thinking here is that they requested 0% interest, which if that comes out of our
bonus,
it needs to be interest bearing. If it comes out of the other account, it leaves us less money to grant for other projects. So by doing that, it helps them out and it'll help the board out. But it's a good question.
It is a good question. We have that very last project that comes in later today that's wanting all grants under that emergency. Are we going to require them to take a 1.5%? So I think we'll have to look at each project on its own merits.
But these are the ones we have. Canis Nation, the benchmark is 2.5%. We have done all these last projects, but that promise is all this in half.
Well,
and then, of course, Mr. Galecki suggested that some of the engineering stuff has been done. So I think that we're still consistent if we stay 2.5%, given the opportunity to assess the situation and for us to have some money for the next three projects.
Candace says the difference would be $2,000 a year in repayments for the district. Is that a substitute motion?
That's a substitute
motion, yes. So we have a substitute motion for Mr. Zanotti. It's everything the same except the interest rate would be the standard 2.5% rather than 1.5%. Is there a second to that substitute? Councilman Farrell seconds that. Discussion on the substitute motion at 2.5%. Seeing none, we'll call the question. All in favor of the substitute?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's do hands, and I'll do a roll call. Commissioner Ogden, Commissioner Hodder, Mr. Zanotti, Mr. Farrell, and Mr. Galecki. Okay, and those opposed? Okay, so we've got Mr. Winterton, Commissioner Keene, Commissioner Adams, and Commissioner Messon. I don't know how this goes. Is it 50-50?
No.
No.
What is that? 5-4.
Yeah,
5-4.
Okay, good.
Oh, paid by the bell.
I think we should have a celebration. So that motion passes, and this project will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration our next meeting as follows. 667% as a loan. At 2.5%, 30 years, and $667,000 as a grant.
Thank you.
So.
Okay, thank you.
We look forward to seeing you next month.
Okay, thank you.
We'll invite Ore Park Water Improvement District to come forward.
Nathan, just, is that at 30 years?
Yes, that was at 30 years. Keith, thank you for at least standing up. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. I'm Max Jensen. I'm the chairman of the Ore Park Water Improvement District.
Yeah,
I guess we're here to this kind of continuation. This project that we're looking at today is a continuation of a project we started a couple of years ago. This system was organized and put in the ground in 1972. The original part of the water district served, I think, the original was 55 homes. In 1975, it was expanded, and basically there hasn't been anything done other than this project that we just completed since about 1975 or 77. It's most of the delivery water lines we have in the district are 2-3-4 inch lines. We've upgraded, we got a 20,000 gallon storage tank, and we've upgraded that. We've 10 to 12 inch lines, and we replaced 4 inch lines with to the storage tank. What we're looking for now is to replace another 2 inch line with an 8 inch line that will basically fill this new storage tank that we have in line now. The way the system is set up now, our water travels from the west side of the district, probably over 6 miles to the east. Then it's pumped uphill, probably 400 feet in elevation. And then it's pumped north another 4 or 5 miles to our current storage tank, the new storage tank that we built. We're looking to cut a lot of that distance out and to replace this 2-inch line with an 8-inch line that will basically shorten the water traveling. Probably a total of 5 or 6 miles. We'll take it on the west end of our district and run it just 2 or 3 miles to the north and put it into this new tank that we just completed. Basically, that's what we're looking at. Our engineering firm did a master plan for us about 3 years ago that was suggested that we break it up in phases. We're just finishing up with phase one, and we would like to continue with phase two. We'll increase our ability to maintain our fire flow. As it is now, we're looking at pumping water out of ditches and ponds and whatnot to meet our fire flow. And it's this is something that's needed done for a lot of years, and hopefully we can get it completed.
So, Mr. Jensen, can you address the radio read meters and the office building? Is that part of this project as well?
Yes. Most of these meters, the big majority of the meters, was put in the ground in the 70s. They've been maintained and overhauled several times. It's to the point where the majority of them are reading correct. We want to replace them. And we thought that while we're in the process of replacing them, we would replace them with radio reads so that we're not having to, as it is right now, we put our meters to bed in November and we don't look at them again until late March, early April, depending on the weather. If we have problems, they go unnoticed for months at a time. This way, we can read our meters monthly, get a lot more accurate reading. know if we have problems almost immediately rather than let them go for 30 months and then have things freeze and break and have a major catastrophe.
And the office building?
The office building, we share a community building with the irrigation company, various other community organizations. It's not been a major problem for us to schedule water meetings. They're usually the same day, same time every month. That's not a problem, but our biggest concern is the storage of our documents. Minutes, deeds, and whatnot, those right now are being kept by our secretary in her home, and she's as worried about it as anybody else is. God forbid that she had a house fire or something moving over there. And that's basically what we're looking at, is a place that we can store our documents, have our own meetings, and a storage facility for various items that we, meters and different things that we want to do.
Could that building be used as a revenue source where you could lease part of, sublease part of it to another entity?
I think eventually. I think it could. You know, we're a small community, just a farming community, and I don't know if, I really don't know if the community would accept this one to charge for it when the community has a building that is not charged for it. But if we got to the point that I don't ever see that much growth down there where we would be in the position to do that. It's an option.
Yeah.
I just don't know how it would be able to be accepted.
Understood. Mr. McKee, any questions?
Actually, really more of a comment. This little community being my county, I'm very familiar with the community. So I'd like to give just a little information on it if I could. It's a small little community. I don't know if any of you know, I've been down where Pelican Lake is. It's down there at Pelican Lake. It's very rural. It's very remote. It's also the community, it's kind of the last community right before you go into the oil fields to the south. As far as, you know, I was looking at their income, it shows Randallette at 45.9. I don't know if that was done by zip code or what that was done by. But Randallette itself is a heavily tribal community. I would dare guess that number is substantially lower than that, but I'm just give that a little bit of information. But they have been working on this project, and before, Max, before you got in, I know some of your predecessors, this has been worked on for many years to try and put something together to try and make this happen. In the community, I think they're doing kind of the best that they can do. They've been trying hard on this. But again, as we're trying to save some funds, the main thing that I would suggest with this project would be, I'm wondering if, and I'm going to add one other thing. The Avalon Community Centers, which is where they're at, and there's a fire station, I believe CID years ago built both these buildings. The county pays the utility bills on both of these buildings. The community just does not have much to be able to do a lot there. We just went through our budgets, and if there's a way to do much there, we would. I guess that's the point that I'm really trying to say here. But anyway, what my thought is if we could maybe, and I want to just throw this out there, if we could pull off that community building at this time, the Avalon Community Center, I think you could continue to use for your public meetings. I don't know if we could, build a room inside of that somewhere where there could be a safe, secure place for your documents and those kind of things. But I think it might be nice if we could take a look at that. When I was looking at this, it may not be what you want to do, but as I was looking at this, what I had wondered is, it's showing $300,000 for that building. We don't know how much is in for engineering for this. But I'd almost guess there'd be enough in the engineering there that something could be taken from that to build a safe, secure spot in that building to be able to accommodate the records, or at least to get us by for a couple of years till we kind of get, kind of help us out a little bit with the oil prices being down. So But I think with their Magi and everything, you know, what they're requesting here does fall within that Magi. I think the grant that they're seeking falls within that realm. But I was just wondering if we could pull off the community building.
I think now, completing the system of it is a must. You know, and the building, it could certainly wait. It's more luxury for us at this time. I know we're all concerned with the loss of those documents. And, there's been a couple of times in the past few years that there's been some litigation. Probably, you know, we've had to go back and find minutes and whatnot. We lose those minutes, and then our documents and different things. That's the biggest concern with the building.
And that actually happened to your irrigation company down there. Their irrigation documents did go up in the fire, and they lost the record.
And that was the community building.
Yeah.
They had to store it in the community building.
Yeah, can I make some comments? I acknowledge how it is, and it's a very small community, and your income and such. Kind of leading along with what Mike says, and the current, this has been a phased project that's been going on for multiple years. Identify you're never really going to have the money to go alone. But one of the things that I guess I was kind of suggesting is, thinking about is you have the radio reads. It's a phased project. We had the building on here. One thought that I would have is, board members consider it, is thinking about rejecting the application at this point. Let them go back and see exactly all of the phased projects, what would need to be done. Maybe scale back the size of that and, come back with truly the needs of what you really wanted to do at this point. So
you put it on the pending list and let them come back with the revised application?
That would be another option, yes. What's the difference between, I guess pending is still possible.
Pending actually has them on the agenda. Denial doesn't have them on the agenda.
Then I'll make the motion to put them on the pending list. Outline those things that I kind of just spoke about and see if there's any support of that, because we could. Would that then be on this?
It could be on.
If they're ready in October, it could be on any time. It could be October.
But on the pending part, we still have to evaluate it at that point.
Right. It's just to come back with a revised application. So we have a motion from Mr. Galecki to place this project on the pending list. Is there a second to that motion? Commissioner Ogden seconds that. Questions on the motion? Mr. Zanotti and then Commissioner Adams.
Could we ask Nathan to speak about this project also?
Can you address the same issues that you addressed on the previous project, for starters?
Specifically, what are you looking for?
About ISD, ISD procedure, have they done any kind of the critical points of their system? Are they still can go forward without any challenge?
No, they're in the same boat as the previous application as far as our priority, the IPS system. I think for this one, it's more critical because it is the second phase. Remember, every time someone comes with a massive project, you tell them to break it into phases. They did that on their own, and it's kind of penalizing them a little bit to not let them finish the second phase to actually get their new tank full of water, I would say. So I think that's more of a priority than the actual point system that we have to identify deficiencies and things like that.
Don't they have a higher water rate? Does that qualify them for any different kinds of funds? Their water rate's higher than the last one.
So, yes, if they came to the drinking water board, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
They do qualify for the what we call, and I have a hard time saying this word, additional subsidization. Can I say that? So, they would qualify for their reduced interest and grant if they came to the drinking water board based upon.
Could they, would their water rate qualify them for any grant money?
So we're limited by the federal government on how much grant we can give of our total capitalization money that we get every year. And we're
almost always up against that ceiling.
Okay.
So we can do some grants, but we always reduce the interest to zero first. And we just look at that on a case-by-case basis. So there's no guarantee that they'll get any grant. If they came, it might just be all zero loan.
But they're not going to be able to get answers from your board prior to our funding meeting if we put it on the pending list, right?
No.
And on the pending list, it doesn't necessarily need to come back in October. It can come back any time that they're ready. So, and that would be the soonest, obviously, being the next meeting, but it could come in.
Well, if they were funded even in October, they're probably not going to start construction until next year. So there may be some time that they could go to the Water Quality Board and see what could be done there and then come back to us before next summer. I don't know.
I want to make a substitute motion on this, but in doing so, let me explain why I'm going to. Again, if you follow what we have tried to do in this board, they're magi. They do qualify for the 100% grant on there. If we send them to Water Quality, I think the best they're going to end up with is 0% loan on it. But what I was attempting to do was so we could try and, if we pulled off that building, and so the substitute motion that I would like to do is if we pulled off the building and the amount of engineering that would go to that building, but it would be at least $300,000, we know that directly, and if you know, there's probably at least another $30,000 that would come off of that. If we could reduce that by, does that sound about right, Keith?
On the building portion, because of the building lots already owned by the district, the areas are small to survey, the percent of the engineering on the building is actually a little less than on the water.
I only allowed 10%, what they said was.
I said it's probably $25,000 in engineering.
Okay. Well, if we would reduce, what my motion would be that we approved it as requested, subtracting $325,000 from that, and that would allow them to be able to move forward with the project. The project is ready. They have worked a long, long time to get here. And so that would be
a $1.6 million grant?
Yeah, whatever that amount would be, minus the $325,000.
Now, what about the radio read meters? That comes to $38,500. Is that a necessity of this project?
And I would include that in there. I've done a little checking on that. You know, your newer meters are radio read, but a lot of these older meters, which is what they've got down there, are not. And a lot of those meters, as they have pointed out, that, you know, Max may even speak to that, but the shape is.
A lot of them, like they say, have been in the ground for, you know, probably at least 20 years, the majority of them, probably closer to 25 years. We try to maintain them the best we can, but plastic parts inside them, you know, once they wear out, they're pretty hard to replace, and we just feel that it's something that we could definitely use it.
So the motion for Commissioner McKee is a $1.6 million grant. Is there a second to that substitute motion? Commissioner Winterton is the second. Questions on the motion? Seeing no questions, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Okay, let's do a hand raise. That didn't sound overwhelming. All those in favor, raise your hand, please. Winterton, McKee, Potter, and Mattson. All those against? Ogden, Adams, Scaletti, Farrell, and Donati. So we go back to the original motion, which was to place it on the pending list.
It wasn't a second, or was it?
No, we did not get a second.
Yeah.
No,
sure.
Did we?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mr. Ogden, thank you. Sure. Candace didn't get that. So let's go back to that motion. Any questions on that motion? All in favor of that motion, raise your hand.
Can I ask? I'm slow on my question.
You're too slow. If this were a gunfight, you'd be dead. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Just simply the question. Now, so they can bring this back at really any point in time
yes.
with any updated information.
Exactly.
And then if there's questions on radio read or whatever it is, then
And saying as early as next month, it would just be clear what the application was. So again, all in favor of the original motion? Ogden, Winterton, McKee, Slaughter, Adams, Gennady, everyone. It's unanimous. Any opposed? There we go. So, are you clear on what you need to do at this point?
There's mud.
Good. That's why we like our drinking water.
It's
No, just come back, get with staff on revising the application to take out the building and any other changes that you can make to this project to make it more appetizing, appealing to the board and still meet your needs. I mean, you've heard the sentiments here. I think it was in favor of trying to help. And then you can come back as early as October when we do our funding meeting, or if you need more time.
They could be funded in
any questions? Just let Candace ask. Thank you, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you.
Keith, are you going to stand up and sit back down? Or?
No, I'm actually going to kneel back.
Okay, I'm going to stay down. Ballard Water and Sewer. So introduce yourself.
Morning, board. We'd like to thank you for your time. I'm Mark Reed, head of the Solid Water Improvement District. Ben Maurer, our district supervisor director. Larry Henry's on the board. Henley and Sarah Engel is on our engineer. Our water project is a new culinary water tank. To replace an old one, it's kind of 42 years old. The tank is leaking. We need of upgrading that tank and putting in a new one. It's also larger to supply the storage and fire suppression and everything else that we need.
Pretty cut and dry?
Pretty cut and dry. One other thing, Candace mentioned that we were asking for 0% interest. We aren't. We're asking for 2.5% interest on the loan portion of that.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you for that clarification. A couple other questions that Candace had. You own water rates, the water rights to fill up the tank of this size?
Yes, we did.
And you own the property where you want to build the tank?
We are in the process of buying that before the landowner's attorney at this point. They've made a verbal agreement with us on where to place the attorneys to finalize that.
You can be waiting a while. They get paid by the hour.
Yeah. Well.
Another question that I had, if I may, this is a significant increase in the size of your tank. Would it make more sense to do a tank maybe half this size or even smaller? I mean, this seems like a really large tank to me.
So the existing tank is 200,000 gallons, and the other tank that we currently have is 500,000 for a total of 700,000 is still under the storage that they need. And the way we come up with that storage, drinking water requires equalization storage, which is the amount of the average daily for the connections. And with their current connections, that's about under 300,000 gallons. We want to project what, for 30 years, because we don't want to run out of storage in 10 years with a new tank. So if we anticipate a 3% growth over 30 years, that's another 200,000 gallons. So that's in somewhere in the neighborhood of 600,000 gallons. The other part of the requirement is that, and I'll read from the rule, it says fire fuel storage volume. If the water system is equipped with fire hydrants intended to provide fire suppression water or as required by the local fire code official. And so in 2011, when Ballard did a master plan meeting with the fire official and trying to meet fire code requirements. Based on the largest structure in Ballard and the type of construction is how we come up with that fire storage, which in this case was about 4,700 gallons for 4 hours. So a little over a million gallons of storage is fire related. As you know, Ballard has, well, you may not know, but Ballard has a large stick-built hotel. They also have many industrial businesses with storage of oil and other chemicals. So storage for Ballard for now in the next 30 years is somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.5 million gallons. And that's why, you know, we can maybe argue that it's 100,000 less or something like that. But once we get to that size, there's really not a cost saving of dropping 100,000 gallons or whatever. So that's how we came up with the storage requirement.
Questions from the board?
Okay, you.
Mr. Galecki?
I've got a, I wish I took a better note on this, but the $1 million tank is in the neighborhood of $1.6 million, is that correct?
Yes.
And I thought somewhere, and I think it's a shipping application, you know, 500,000 gallon tanks for half a million. Do those numbers seem right? I mean, could you put in 2 500,000 gallon tanks instead of half a million dollars?
No, I can't speak to the $500,000 you're talking about, okay. But I can't speak to our number and the things that are involved. That number is more than just the tank itself. There's other appurtenances around the tank to make it happen. So I don't know if the 500,000 gallon was maybe just the tank that you're referring to.
How was the 2004 tank purchased?
It was built.
Oh, yeah, yes, but how is the funding for that?
Long grant.
So it's been many years since Ballard has been to this board for funding raise. And I mean, they can into this, but they year to year try to improve their system with their own funds. This is just a project that's beyond that. I think, if I'm not mistaken, their Magi fairly high, and they try hard to. I don't know that they have plans either to come back in the near future. I think, you know, based on history, it's several years before.
And it seems that the contingency is up at 15%. It seems typically it's small, less than that. Could we address that?
Well, I would say that most of our projects are somewhere between 10 and 15%. This one, 15% because of not knowing the time on being able to build it. Steel prices change. We've had times when we built tanks and steel was quite different by the time we built the tank. So 15% is just a number that we use.
Commissioner McKee?
I want to look at this Magi if I can just for a minute. If I'm reading these, page right on page 344. Just before I state this, let me make sure I'm looking this right. If I'm looking at that right, they'd actually qualify under the terms that we have for 100% grant. They're willing to take this with a 600,000, not even 0% interest, but 2.5% interest loan. I think they are being very responsible in what they're asking for today. So with that, I would move for approval.
As presented?
As presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Mike McKee, the motion. Bruce Adams, the second. Any questions on the motion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you, gentlemen. That'll be placed on the priority list for next month. Funding.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Now we're going to head south now. San Juan County. You know, someday there might be a road to go from there to there.
Next time you come to San Juan County, I'm going to slap you.
To get there, you guys are going to be the county where we need the roads.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Frank Garcia.
I don't think it's on, Frank.
I'm Frank Garcia. I'm the chairman of the San Juan Spanish Valley Special Service District. And with me, I have
Ryan Jones, also the mill engineer. Kelly Pearson, San Juan County Administrator.
Sheriff Neely, also very San Juan.
I'd like to thank the board for reviewing our project. Myself and the other board members, we volunteers, and we've close to 10 years putting this project, getting it to this point. Our intent is to try and improve the quality of life for the 230 residents in Spanish Valley, which, if you don't know, is south of the Low Avenue, across the line in San Juan County. It's been a struggle getting to this point. I'm not sure what else I can say. Welcome any questions you might have.
Nathan, can you skip some light? This is a brand new system. It's an area that's currently served with wells and septic tanks. Is there anything the board should know before any questions?
So I do have a couple of questions I can ask. Maybe you could shed some light on. From my experience with new water systems that are just up and running, one of the hardest things to do is just get enough upfront buy-in from everybody that we can close on any loan or actually grant any money and tie it up, and then be confident that you have enough revenue stream to pay back any loan part that is given. So that's something.
We've had some public meetings, and they've been very positive. I'm actually quite surprised that you had no resistance to this project. We laid out, we had Jones and Mill giving the talk, and everybody was pretty well on board with, you know, this is what we're going to be charging, this is what the current cost is going to be. And,
I'll add that, as the administrator, I get calls from citizens in Spanish Valley and emails asking when are we doing this project? And we keep telling them we're trying our hardest. So this is something that they want. We presented to them that we would focus on trying to get to the state affordable amounts. And that's why we went to the Division of Drinking Water first and came here and changed our funding request to grant here so we can keep it at that state average rate so that the citizens there can afford it. I mean, most of the citizens in Spanish Valley are longtime residents of that area. A lot of them are farmers, ranchers of that area. So to ask them to pay a lot for water is going to be very difficult, and that's why we've taken the necessary steps to get partnerships with Division of Drinking Water and CIP just to keep that rate low enough for the citizens to improve the quality of life.
So, do you have water rights and property in place?
We do have water rights. We've got 500 acre feet right now. More than enough water to serve that part of the battle.
And you have property and right of way and everything that's needed?
You do.
Commissioner Adams, would you like to comment?
Yeah. First of all, this is in San Juan County, but it is not in the Bears Ears Monument proposal. I want to make that clear. Spanish Valley is too far north of the Bears Ears. A lot of these people that live in Spanish Valley have endured a lot of what has come into Moab since the 1950s, and a lot of them dealt with mining and extractive industry. So I want to ask Frank how he feels about mining fossil fuels in the state of Utah.
I can answer that, Mr. Adams, in the words of my wife's most favorite politician, drill, baby, drill.
Okay. And I think that represents probably the attitude of a lot of these people that live in that county. They're supportive of what this board does and where we get our money. The valley all flows towards the Colorado River, and we've already been through a hearing process to transfer water rights that San Juan County owned to the Spanish Valley Special Service District. We received a huge amount of protest. It cost the county a lot of money to go through that process with the state water engineer. We wanted to transfer even more water rights, but through that process we were limited to 500 acre feet of water. The county does have more water rights that we could have used, but that was the decision by the state water engineer. You've got a valley that I think over the years San Juan County's been very cooperative with Grand County. The Ken's Lake property is in San Juan County, but for some reason, at that time that it happened, San Juan County Commission did not get any water from Ken's Lake. It all goes into Grand County. There's significant opposition by people who hate fossil fuels in Grand County to this project and just about anything that happens in Spanish Valley. And I don't know what the problem is, because again, we've been cooperative with Grand County, but those individuals, not the longtime residents, but those people who've moved in, have a different attitude about cooperation, apparently. So like Frank says, it's been a long struggle, a 10-year process. Every one of those residents has their own well. Every one of those residents has their own septic system, and there's only so much that an area can take, you know. And so we've done studies. We've worked hard with these residents. They're a little disconnected with Monticello and Blanding because they're so far away and they're so close to Moab, that they kind of feel like, you know, they're Moab residents, but they really aren't. We have some responsibility to help them, and like Frank says, I think Frank's been a volunteer for at least 10 years or more, and other people down there as well. I know that, you know, the CIB has limited funds to help these people, but they went to Drinking Water and presented their case to Drinking Water, and Drinking Water's willing to help them. You know, according to state rules, this project qualifies for all grant money. So I know everybody's case is special, but I'm telling you, this really is a special case. I hope the board will consider that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I had one other concept that we could bring up if the board is interested. Grand Water and Sewer is very close, and the applicant has had a lot of discussions about connecting in with them, and if the board's interested, maybe they could speak to the sewer side and the water discussions if they're interested.
I'm interested. Yes,
yeah, right. So I'll fill you in on that. We've had a lot of discussions with both Grand Water and Sewer and Moab about these projects. On the sewer side, we do anticipate combining the Grand Water and Sewer and conveying the flow down to the Moab treatment plant once it's completed. So that is the plan there.
on the water side, as we did our study and evaluation, we met with Groundwater Insurer to figure out what the details could be. There were limited benefits as far as the system goes to combining the systems. There wouldn't be much overlap between the two systems. The cost was significantly higher to put those connections between the two systems. And one of the things that Groundwater Insurer did tell us was that if we did connect to their system, each of our residents would be charged impact fees when we did connect. So that immediately bumped up the cost, and there was a huge benefit. One other thing they also did tell us was that if we did connect to their system, they would not charge their residents any additional fees to help us pay for our system. So basically, keeping it separate was a much less money for each resident in the long run.
Mr.
Tanani?
Kevin, maybe you can answer this. What's the status of the cash, in kind cash, and then the status of the state loan and state grant? Are they approved already in place?
Yeah, so the addition of drinking water, we were there last week, and they gave us $1.78 in loan and like $768,000 in grant. For we were requesting about $2.5 million as well, and that's approved and done. As far as our cash injection, every citizen, the 230 citizens, will have to pay a substantial amount to tie into the system, $2,000 or $3,000 a piece, just to tie into the water system, and that's going to be our cash injection into this project. So that'll come in time.
Yeah, with that information the candidate provided, I would like to approve, ask for approval as requested.
We have a motion to approve as requested, noting that's the revised request
right
on the yellow sheet.
No.
On the yellow sheet. So that's the grant loan mix, which would be 1.55.
Those are the numbers that they were awarded.
Right.
This is what they were asking.
Right. So your motion, Mr. Zanotti, is a $1.55 million grant and a $1 million loan, 30 years, 0%.
That is correct.
Can I have a question on that, if I can? Before you just
Let me get a second first, and then we'll have the question. Is there a second? Commissioner Ogden, Mr. McKee, your question?
The question I have for Mr. Zanotti would be, as we're trying to make our fund balances work well, and so that their payment would stay the same, could we calculate rather than $1 million in 0% loan, if we were to convert that to to a 1.5 or 2.5% loan, what that would be? Because maybe it'd be more like $600,000 or $700,000, but it would help our fund balance work better because we have extra in the one fund and we're deficient in the other, and it would be the same. It would be the same amount of money to the applicant. The payments would remain the same, but just be the way that we would do that.
It increase the grant and decrease the loan, but put interest on it.
Yes. That would be my question. If Mr. Zanotti would be open to that.
Nathan has already provided some calculations.
Yeah,
if you come close to a $33,003 payment, which is what their original request was, you can charge 2.5% with a $637 loan.
So, Mr. Darcy, are you able to do that if we raise the interest rate to 2.5%?
And then we would increase the grant.
Yeah, that'd be my question. What would that do to the monthly water rate?
It would put you at 2.43% of that charge. As we requested it, this one puts with a 30-year, 2.5%, $637.5 loan. It's 2.38% of
that. So move that up or down to an even $1,000 loan. So $637,000.
Yeah, right.
At 1.5% interest for 30 years is roughly equivalent to the original requested amount.
Right.
So the increase is a grant?
Yeah.
And money we don't have, right? I'm not following why you want to do that.
The reason for doing that simply is if you look at the beginning of our sheet, we have ample money in the 2.5% loan balance. We have a surplus. The other one, we have a negative.
Oh, I see.
Still kind of moving.
It moves the money around, keeps the payments the same, essentially keep the payments the same, and it gives us more flexibility here at the board.
If you're okay, Mr. Dossi, I revise my motion to reflect that.
Yes, I think we can make that work.
Okay. All right. I revise my motion.
137 even. And $1,913,000 in grant.
Which interest rate?
2.5.
Okay.
30 years?
Yes. 30 years.
Okay. So that is the motion and the second.
I've got a question.
Mr. Hodges?
I think that's even a lower
question. Okay. Do we have a second before the question?
Yeah, I'll vote.
Okay. We'll second, then your question. Go ahead.
Have you got an impact fee when these people connect on?
The study hasn't been completed yet, but we will have an impact fee for new connections after these original residents do connect.
Well, each resident's going to impose their own impact fee by having to hook up to the system, probably in the neighborhood of $2,000 to $3,000.
From the notes, I understand that they were going to. Fund that.
All future, they'll be in that.
Right.
Water and
all residents on board with this, then what's going to happen with the wells? This person are they going to just keep those as well?
We hope that they can keep those as secondary water. My name is a secondary water, but.
Putting the big straw in and collecting every water and then you use that for irrigation water.
It's a different aquifer. The big straw goes deeper and the tap's a different aquifer.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes, please.
The pre-construction engineering is $270,000. Can you explain further than that? It seems to me, I'll tell you, Ryan, typically what I do is I look at just generally $100 an hour for charging rate. That's $68 for work. And so I kind of, and then same thing with $226,000 in construction administration. What's going on there?
A large project, whole new water tank. Well, a lot of distribution systems, a large area. I believe those percentages are pretty reasonable for the overall construction cost.
But I'm talking about the case specifically the pre-construction engineering has over $250,000. So you're mapping it out in GIS and you have these connections and I'm just trying to see how much engineering.
So I guess you want to break it down into components there. So as far as the system goes, yes, we would map it on GIS, survey the entire community, map all the existing utilities, find out where interferences would be, everywhere users would be needed as far as the distribution system goes, and go into each individual home, finding out where their existing well is, figuring out their existing home system.
Does that include the abandonment of those wells? Because there's like $230,000 for the abandonment of the wells. So are you guys going to be doing the abandonment?
So that's part of the individual homeowner cost that they would pay for themselves. But we'll need to design a system so we can account for where all the pipes are going and how we can connect each other.
And do plan and stretch for the well and the tank.
Plan the sex work, yeah. So that was probably distribution system, then well, design the well. The officer said studying quite extensively, so we have a pretty good idea of what's required for the well. But the change is, it will require a pretty significant amount of work.
Just so the board's aware,
this last month from one or two times I've been to talk for water quality is Spanish Valley came in for about a similar close to $5 million sewer project. And so and that, well, keep that in mind, that is additional cost that will probably be the same type of balance. But currently the water, the board kind of rejected that, thinking that it was a little outside of more of a want than a need, you know, for the area. So,
you know, and I'll speak of that. That's, you know, this, like Frank said, is 10 years overdue. I mean, really, you guys have wanted it.
And we're talking drinking water, right?
Yeah. Well, and so we're here. I mean, and you have all set, all those sets of systems in the little area and right over the aquifer, so it's way overdue.
Can I ask a question?
I'm sorry. First we'll go to Mr. Fairway, and then we'll go to you, Commissioner.
One interesting information question to you. We're talking about the Grand County impact fee. How much was that fee that they were asking for?
It was on the, in the range of about $2,000. I don't remember the exact amount, but $2,000 per connection. It seems like they would have charged each of our residents just to connect to that system.
Commissioner McKee?
It's really a question for Greg. Greg, you had said the board that you're sitting on said this is a little bit over the top or something to that effect. Are you talking about the water portion?
No,
the sewer portion. Okay, so, and that's separate from this.
Separate.
Okay. Right. I just wanted to. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so.
Can I comment on that?
It's
connected, though. From the drinking water standpoint, having all of those septic systems there is something that we hope to be taken care of sooner rather than later, but it's not a part of control.
Mr. Garcia, is there any intention to come before the impact board for sewer funding? Next week? Yeah.
And I can also say that the residents are strongly in favor of sewer.
So prepare yourselves.
Just informational question. But, you know, upon approval, when will startup of the water system start as far as putting water in these individual homes? How soon?
19. We can move forward immediately with the water system. It can be, you know, designed and constructed probably within the next 18 months or now. The sewer system, there will be some delays on that because of the water treatment plant. It has to be constructed before they'll allow us to connect to that system.
Any further questions?
So all the right-of-ways and required in is all in place? No objections of any kind?
Most of the system is designed within the county road right-of-ways. There is some CITLA property that will need to obtain easements across for a tank and a well.
Thank you.
How deep are you expecting to have to go with your well?
I believe this well is designed to about 800 feet. For the higher quality offer in that area.
Don't worry, the septic tank's only 700. All right, so the motion was, and Candace has changed it slightly, so let me know if you had a comment. $638,000 at a 2.5% 30-year loan, and $1,912,000 as grant. Calculation. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? All right, there you have it. That will be placed on a priority for next month's funding meeting. Oak City.
Appreciate the opportunity to come present this to you today.
retained last year. We knew there was a need for some water improvements. We had an engineering study done that we took the cans on and presented a project, and we presented it maybe too quickly. And actually, we appreciate the fact that you get it from us. Anyway, we went back and decided we better reevaluate. We got the rural planning group, come up with a general plan that hadn't been updated for a number of years. We took the time to go through that to prioritize what was still important to us, for us and as far as the community goes. We completed that plan. During that process, we also had Jones at the Mill do a water impact study using the other plan as well and their ideas. We kind of incorporated those two to what we thought were going to be the things that we needed the most. So what we're presenting to you today is considerably less than we've asked before, and a lot less as far as what we're asking in money. We do still have a concern with our springs. Most of our water does come from springs. Since the last time we presented a project, we were going to look to possibly drill another well, connect with the existing well, which we use to supplement our springs in the heavy times of year. Since that has happened, we've had to put new casing and re-drill, and our re-drill didn't case again, put a new pump and stuff in that well. We had the opportunity to pump it again to see what our numbers were. Based on that, we felt that rather than drilling a new well, we could just replace the pump with a bigger pump, and the well would easily produce what we were hoping to get out of the well. So that's considerable savings there as well. We still do have concerns with our springs. I know last time we came, it was right after our big fires there that burned all of them off. We wasn't sure what the impact was going to be on the springs. We still do have some concerns there. As was noted by Candace, we had a review by the Drinking Water Board, and our springs, a couple of them did not pass the inspection. There's things we need to do with those. This project, what we decided would be most important to us, is to just rework the springs. It's been a number of years since they've had any work. We felt that would be by far our best benefit for the money we spent. So that is going to be our main course, is to redo those springs. They've been consistent for us for a number of years, and we'd just like to get all we can out of them. Increase the size of our pump and existing wells, so we're having no concerns with making up the water in the summertime. And then also, we still have a project that is a concern. We have residents on our south side of town that want to annex in. We have been supplying them water for a number of years, and we do not have a running work in 7 to 19 pounds of water pressure. They're almost the same level of our tank, considerable distance away, and we need to put in a pump station. We've evaluated how we can change that, but we feel the best thing is to put in a pump station there to feed that side of town to make sure they get up high enough to at least meet the state requirements on our water. But right now the concern is, you open a fire hydrant, you're going to get pressure usually on that part of town. So that is something that needs to be prioritized. It's been like that for a number of years. And part of the study has made that well aware that we have to take care of that problem. So we have asked that we have a grant for $350,000, a loan for $175,000, and we're going to put $175,000 of our own funding into that project.
Thank you, Mayor. Nathan, do you have anything to add?
Sure. The springs are what we would say deficient at this point, as you stated. The low pressure has not been on our radar at this point, so they are not officially in trouble at this point for those, but it's definitely something that we should fix.
So do they have a timeline to fix those before coming before the board, or what is the criteria?
Until the water system becomes not approved, we really don't have any enforcement. So those springs have been like that for quite a while, several years, in our database as deficient. I can't remember exactly, but I believe there's some root intrusion. We've got roots in the spring line that causes two problems. One, it reduces your spring flow, which you've seen, and then the more health problem is a public health issue. Is those roots going down introduces a direct line for surface water and rainwater and muddy water to get right down into your spring. So that is a big concern. Glad that they're working on that.
Because we have two concerns there. One, the spring, a couple of them, we've noticed there's a lot of species now that we're not containing. Obviously, there's a piping down there that's impeding that. And the other is, like you said, the collection boxes. We're having a lot of roots and infiltrators, collection boxes, and they need to be replaced. And, you know, it's not an easy area to access and get into, or most of the springs are. But that's a lot of road work and stuff that have to be done to get equipment in to redo these. But like you said, it's low pass time, and we know that we have had lower water rates or the amount coming out of the spring. And we would just like to make those as efficient as possible again and get them back to some standard east amount.
Mayor, Christian, I have a question. We appreciate greatly the fact that you scrimped and saved and can bring $175,000 of cash to this project. Something we did last month was we allowed the community to keep their cash but take more money as loan, so that because we have money in our loan pot, we don't necessarily have money in our grant pot. Would that work for the city, do you know?
Well, we just kept that. And our concern there is we have, well, a couple of different things that are going on. One, the well we have now has been passing standards. We have no tank there. But if it, for some reason, failed the test, we have to put sand or treat that water. We felt that we need to purchase more property on that well so that we could build a tank on that if that happened. We also have a subdivision just above town that it seems the interest is there that they would like us to work with their water system. They've had a private water system. Obviously, the wells feeding that are drawing from the same aquifers. There's a lot of building up there. Everybody's punching new wells. And so we thought if we have an opportunity, we would like to purchase some property at the top of the canyon, build a tank there, and integrate their system. And then we can feed all the new cabins and things that are going in so people don't continue to drill wells in the aquifers that we're relying upon as well. We have more control of that. So we've been trying to hold some of our cash for those opportunities to purchase the properties and integrate some of those other systems in. So we've been holding some of our cash for that. And that's one reason we didn't necessarily put up more money I don't think we necessarily have a concern of paying a small interest on the $175 we're asking. But as far as that's why we're conserving some of our cash, because we're hoping to be able to control some of those situations.
I think Mr. Chairman wants to know if you want to take the $175,000 more cash, keep the cash, and borrow more money from us. That's what he meant to say.
Yeah, no, I think we would just agree not having more loan money than we need, and we feel comfortable with our $175,000 cash. So
we appreciate that. Further questions from the board? Mr. Donati?
Public hearing on the rate increase. Did it take place? When? Is it approved?
Yes. What we've done on the rate increase is we realized it's been several years since it's been raised. I think it's very difficult just to pull a number out. So we actually have the drinking water quality is reviewing our rates. And the cost of this running system, the amount of money we're bringing in, we also have somebody with the joint of the mill doing that. Since we get those professional opinions back, we'll actually need to use the raise whatever they propose to do it. But we just felt we wanted to get our costs and our income coming in and get a really good reason why we're raising the rates and how much we need to raise those rather than just trying to pull a figure. So we're waiting for that studies to come back, and as soon as those come back, we'll immediately act on what they've asked.
About the water rights, have you acquired those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You mentioned the springs, and there was a fire of some sort. Did you have impact on the springs based on the fires?
Yes, we had burned 108,000 acres across that whole top of the mountain. It burned across all of our springs. And we've had a lot of flooding. We've gone back in and redone a lot of the replacements on the lines and things going to those, but there has been a big impact.
And this is a question, I don't know if you've looked at it. I was just kind of wondering if there's any funding from the NRCS because of that soil erosion stuff going in the spring, whether it's available, whether you've looked, tried.
We did get an RCS money, and that's what we replaced most of the lines coming back in that were flooded and washed out, some collection bases to help prevent. We have 135 miles per mile of land that drains down that one drainage ditch right into Old City. So there was some serious concern about the whole town not being there if we had a decent drain like several of the areas the state got. So we did use an RCS money to upgrade a lot of that and protect the communities. So, but it didn't go as far as to rehab the springs, and we felt we had some responsibility to try to help pay for a lot of that. So.
Amazing. Are they qualifying to borrow from your department?
Yes, but it would be all loan. They have a fairly low water bill and kind of a high magi. So if they went through us, it would be
all
loan.
Again?
They have a fairly high water bill and low income level.
Other way around.
Yeah, but I said it wrong. Low water bill, high magi. I think I said it right.
Yeah.
But, so no, they would qualify to get funding from us, but
so
it would be
according
similar
to
option
your,
number three.
They could take this all as long, according to your testimony?
Yeah, according to that benchmark. So what the Magi is for is it's not necessary to say if you're above that 1.75 that you could qualify for all grants. What it means is once you reach that point, then you're eligible for as much grant as the funding agency can afford to give or reduce interest. So these guys haven't reached that point yet.
And we do have a $1 million loan that we took out back in 2000. We still have 10 more years of paying
that. And that retained stream is reflected in their expenses as calculated in the
budget.
Any further questions?
I know that I always bring it up, but this is 21% in engineering cost. I mean, that is astronomical. I know that it's a water project and you're covering a large area, but again, engineering costs are creeping up again on this board, and I don't think it's appropriate. So if it were your money, would you pay 21% for engineering? If it was coming out of your city pocket?
Well, and then I could see something there on the engineering piece. One thing, primarily this project is on Forest Service land, and that increase on those engineering fees reflects that the additional work required for the environmental right-of-way easement work that would need to take place that went through this project up in those hills there.
All the streams are on Forest Service ground.
So how does that increase the cost?
I'm sorry,
can you say that again?
Just additional permitting and environmental work that would be required.
So do you have NEPA here? Does it require NEPA?
Yeah. I don't recall.
Because that's what the forest is saying, additional engineering stuff. That's what that would be.
Correct.
But I don't see that NEPA. Mm-hmm.
It breaks down just primarily on the permitting side and then we don't have an exact number on the number.
No.
Let's go to Commissioner McKee.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple points I'd make. I'm fully supportive of the project. I don't have any, you know, the needs for the project. My points I'd just make has to do with the terms. So if I might just for a minute, I look at our sheet. And on our mineral lease money, where this would be coming from, we're $7,700,000 is what we were showing behind. In our bonus account, we have $9,700,000 on the policy. And then I kind of looking at Millard County, and we've been really pretty good there because we've done 70% in grants there. And then looking at the current water bill at $23. And kind of going with what Nate was showing, if we were to support the project and give this to them 100%, 2.5% loan, their water bill would still be, based on this chart here, would be $41.49, which is still a pretty good water rate. Seems to me that's not, you know, we could help you, we could get you the funding, we could help you get the project, and I think you're still in a fairly affordable position.
So is that a motion?
I would make that as a motion.
So Commissioner McKee has motioned, and Commissioner Potter has seconded that it would be a $525,000 loan, 2.5%, 30 years. Questions on the motion from the board?
The numbers he used were 20
years. Reducing the payment.
So that could even reduce it even further. If that would be helpful.
There's no reason we can't go 30.
Right. If that would even make it better, that would be amenable to that.
Can we pay it off early?
Yes, of course.
Any other questions from the board on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? That'll be placed on our priority list for funding next month, as stated. Motion 30 years, 2.5 years.
So just for the board's knowledge, that look for the water bill of $37.96. That's the one, that's the line in for 30 years. So it's significantly reduces that water bill, unless you choose to start off in 2019.
That's very reasonable. I think any other questions? Thank you. Welcome, Mayor. If you introduce yourself and your team.
Good morning, board. This is my newest city manager, Josh Jones, and from rural
Mike Hanson, rural community.
We have, I'm almost embarrassed that we don't aren't talking in the millions of dollars. We're talking very small amount of money, but let me assure you it's extremely significant to the city of Parowan. We have a really tight budget, very tight this year. And yet we've got a growing community, a very vibrant community. A lot of things have happened. The CIB's been very helpful for us in creating that. The center point of our community now is the new city hall that has become the cornerstone for us. And from that, we're really experiencing a tremendous amount of growth. With that in mind, we really need to get a handle on where we're going and how we're going to implement that growth in the future. About 2 or 3 years ago, we created a committee that took a look at our general plan, and we rewrote that in-house ourselves. We need to have that somebody take a look at that as well and make sure that we're on the right track. That's basically why we're here. We're putting a matching amount of money. We've budgeted that. And believe me when I tell you our budget's tight. We're looking for nickels and dimes.
So are we, man. So are we.
I appreciate that after hearing what's going on this morning.
So questions from the board, Commissioner Adams?
Most of you know how I feel about Parowan. I feel a song coming on this morning. Parowan, my Parowan. You know, that's where my ancestors came from. I moved to approve the request.
We have a motion by Commissioner Adams, a second by Councilman Farrell.
Question.
A question from Mr. McKee.
I'm 100% supportive of this. My question I would have, and it would go to this one and the next application. We have our planning group that we have that we pay $500,000 to $600,000 a year to help us with this. Seems to me that's well within the capability and realm that they would have to be able to do this for us. And so it's not that I wouldn't 100% support helping them and give that to them. I would just redirect it rather than take this out of CIB funds. You know, if Commissioner Adams and the board would feel inclined. I would say, could we direct our planning efforts that we've already got a team in place for? As I read this, this certainly falls in the
review.
It's a review. They certainly should have the capability to do that. And I'm kind of thinking even the same on the next application. But that would be my suggestion to consider.
Is that a substitute motion? Or?
Well, it would be, yeah. If Bruce is okay with that, I certainly
I still feel that song coming on.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll second the motion and still sing the song. We're still going to help them.
So a substitute motion. Go ahead. Your question is that our group have the time. They're so spread all over the state. They just travel. I just talked to Mark this morning. And they're just all over the state and trying to do the jobs.
Are any of them here today? You got to believe that we can work that in the schedule, but let's find out.
I mean, with the three of us that are working full-time on the rural planning group, as far as time frame goes, we don't have the capacity to service everybody within the time frame. That's obvious. At the same time, yeah, this falls within the realm of what we do with the community. So it is something we could do.
What time frame are you looking at if you're studying?
This would probably be early spring of next year, potentially. Spring. Yeah, I think about where we'd be at. Early spring, potentially about the other area.
In my humble opinion, their job and the way they travel to do it more than the money that we're spending here. That's my truth.
Yeah.
So, is there a second on the motion?
I will withdraw my motion.
On the motion?
Okay.
I appreciate it. Any further questions? Okay. We'll call the question then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any stand? Motion carries.
I'd still like to hear Commissioner Adams
speak again.
I was trying to spare us.
The whole planning group doesn't have time, and we don't have time. But maybe another time. Thank you, Mayor.
They've heard me sing before.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Funded on the priority list.
Yes, it will be on the priority list for funding next month.
We would invite you to come back to Fairland, by the way. We have a new Chinese restaurant in town that's extremely well received, and a new Mexican restaurant going in as well. So come to Fairland.
Get more than a burger.
Thank you all.
Board members, be prepared. I am learning a song. I am really this is effective.
I know a song. I have to be singing in the Farsi, so be prepared.
Before this meeting deteriorates any further, Mayor, would you like to introduce yourself and your team?
Yes, I'd like
to. Not a performer like Rich
Adams. Mayor of St. George has a song, but I have no clue what it is. Every year, we all have that song for you. I'm Mayor of Beaver from Tuckerville. And what we're coming, I appreciate your time and everything. And it was a good thing that we're trying to do. We used our general plan that we had about 14 years ago. And we used that to guide and direct us in the road we came to so far. Right now in Tocqueville City, we have a water conservancy district down there is actually preparing to build a reservoir in our city, which is going to increase some of the commercial basis and different types of things. Now, our previous city council did an SID probably about 15 years ago, and I'm glad to say that thing is over now. Our last payment was this year, and if you want to come out bankrupt a small town, take out an SID. Good vision by the city council, previous city council, but glad it's over. So, the one people default on their payments, one thing I do want to talk about, though, is the reason why we're here is our general plan is transportation. It is 15 years old. We went forward. We've gotten a lot of different things we put together in our capital facilities plan just recently to identify where we're at. We've got our water system. We were losing 50% of our water we could not account for about 2 years ago. Put down for rural water and a few of the people they were now we're about 10%, which is about that's probably better than nothing to do in the whole state of Utah, I think, through their own home. But I think we got a really good system. I've got great staff, I've got great people that I got a great council that supports me in the few projects that we do. and what we're doing. So what we're trying to do at this point in time is we have a bypass road that is planned for, I've been in Silver Creek for about 26 years. Roughly that bypass plan has been there for longer than me, probably. And part of that, as we've gotten with the property owners, we've acquired the right of way, we've worked with UDOT, we've done feasibility studies, we've done a bunch of different things. And this is kind of a continuation of that plan. Basically, what it would do for us is help us with our transportation through tie-in roads and then also possibly the transfer road to Earth and City, as well as west of it. Then, as part of that, before the transportation plan, we need to update our general plan. And what we're doing there is we, with the BCMPO, we've applied there, and Commissioner Holtzke here just did. Probably one of the things that would have hurt us to have the other people that we have talked to them. We definitely went to them and talked with them about a year ago. And the thing that would hurt us right there is we've gotten some money from the CMPO, and that funding would expire if we had to wait for them to have the time to do that. So that would be one of the major drawbacks for us at this point. I think UDOT's on board. We're working with the NRD and UDOT and a lot of the different agencies down there. I think we're really coming along with Silverville. A lot of people go through Silverville to get designed, but a lot of people go through Silverville to get to Lake Powell as well. Only if you look at the daily counts on the road, that's 2,000 plus. Go through Silverville, about 2,000 something like a screen now. So our existing SR-17 there, the safety of that is could be questioned, and if you think so, if we're part of our transportation plan, we would like to do that. We're working with property owners, UDOT, and sort of the city green. So when this, you know, everybody says, well, what are we going to do once we have all of this master plan, transportation plan? What are we going to do when we have all of it? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to work with the developers, we're working with the property owners, we're working with UDOT, as well as the city green, our money as well, to provide a safe passage. And there's a place where we don't know this. Implications of that will bring to us or anything in Tokyo City, but we're excited because it will bring some revenue dollars to the bring up better budget to make variable tax revenue at this point.
Mayor, how would the bypass road be funded?
The bypass road would be funded through UDOT, would be funded through us, Tokyo City, and the private developers. What I think is that right now we've got 95% of the land actually, you know, it's in the form of it's property deeded to the city of Tokerville. And as you guys you have know, one of the largest and hardest things to do is get land acquisition from people. Well, when you have that, that's a huge, huge asset.
Yeah, it's a great
spot. Yes, that's how we
let's go to the board for questions or any motions. Any questions?
I have some questions.
Okay, let's start with Mr. John, and then we'll go to you.
From your disclosure, I stay with the mayor in the BCMPO, and according to my knowledge yesterday, they have approved the $25,000 for the particular project.
Absolutely.
They
approved up to
$44,000. Okay, yes.
So we only have to give you $25,000 then. I like it.
And also, by way of the 70 Commission, we are aware of that SR-17 is a challenge. We're working with the mayor and the city and the BCMPO to get them to install the issues of the traffic safety. And as Mayor mentioned, 95% of the land is already acquired, and we're not just waiting for the limit of a site.
Mr. Galecki?
It's actually for Mike and Shannon, I guess. So, you know, we're looking at these two. A couple things that stick out to me is, like an update of the general plan is like $28,000. And, you know, it's like on the last one, updating it was about $5,000. So, where's a lot of that? How's that stuff?
That's a great question. Some of the two different projects, Carlin City already updated their plan in-house. They just want someone with legitimate land use expertise to review it with them, make sure that it really complies, help them with improvements. For Tokerville, we will be rewriting, overhauling their general plan. So it's a very different process.
And then the question I had is that, you know, there's over 20,000 done in the road modeling. Is that engineering modeling? I mean,
wait a minute. Basically, with the engineering deal, UDOT, I forget your format, what they call the cube model. The Dixie NPO, the software, and the final product that come to the Dixie NPO and UDOT, the engineering companies, and we've talked to a few of them about what the prices and ratings, just the purpose of the federal and work engineering. And I've also talked to, everybody was right around the $45,000 fee for that.
What is that?
What that's going to do is it will give us our transportation plan. It will give us a mapping in the format that UDOT requires, so that UDOT doesn't have to do additional work, nor the MPO. So the MPO can take the information that we give them from our engineer, right into their software, and updates their software. The MPO, Myron Lee, the big MPO director there, he requested us to do this over 2 years ago, and I couldn't find the engineer that could give us that, the process that we've got from these guys, or our engineer, Gideon, a ballpark figure 2 years ago, about $84,000.
Further questions from the board?
Mr.
Adams, motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Well, we'll give that to Commissioner Matthews because he raised his hand too. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Mayor LaFever.
Thank you, Dan.
Is the Ellsworth mentioned in here? Your Ellsworth?
Yeah.
We're not related. We might be related. I don't know if we're related.
Yeah, I was wondering
if
that's
I could be related.
You know, we're all paying attention to who you're related to.
Well, I'm related to Charlie Half
of
you, right?
You should have disclosed that before the vote.
My marriage, right now.
She's my cousin.
Henry Bill. You guys have been waiting patiently.
Dave Albert, well, from the mayor of Henry Hill. Carson Mills, from the engineer.
Okay, so this is a background on Greenwood. We're here. Back in June, we had total loss of water from our well, and we ended up finding out our vapor lock in the well and air lock, plus we had broken water line down the way. In the process of searching out these problems, we found out that we have in the 6.5 miles of water line that we have, about 2 or 3 miles of that is substandard 4-inch thin wall pipe. And all of the air valves on our line, I think there are 19 of them, none of them are functional. They were all metal air valves, and every one of them corroded so that the falling valves either locked open or locked closed. Created a water hammer. We believe that's what broke the line down the way, caused our whole line to sink about 12 feet for a 400-foot stretch. So there were a couple questions you had at the beginning of this that I hope that I can answer. We issued boil orders and water restrictions immediately and contacted the Division of Drinking Water.
We've been working with them right from the start. They approved us for half of the project cost, $345,000 as grant. They were willing to fund the whole project. Unfortunately, they didn't have the funding available. They had some other projects also that they were looking towards, and they were basically doing their grant account. So they recommended that we come to you. Ms. Bowers, you asked a question earlier if this is still an emergency. Right now, we do have water flowing into our tanks, and it is good water. It's passing all of the tests. But we have where our water lines leak and shrink, we made a 400-foot circumvention around that area. So we have a band-aid on the problem. And we've also had two leaks recently in our 4-inch thin wall pipe up the lineway, and we just developed a leak 2 weeks ago right at our filter building. So short answer to that, yes, we still think it's an emergency. It's not a dire emergency because we do have water in our tanks right now. They're remaining full. But we still do believe it's an emergency. This could go any minute. Also in there, our spring is not contaminated, not the well, but the spring, and it still does have a tendency to feed into our system. So far, we can isolate that. We have incurred about, I think it's $13,500 expenses. About $13,500 on expenses up to this point. Division of Drinking Water has agreed to pay that. The reason we're asking you folks for all grant money, we, in the spring, early spring, we raised our water rate up to $32. And we took out the loan from Division of Drinking Water at that time. So, with the population of elderly people we have in the town and the senior citizens and the low-income families on the fixed income, we don't believe that we can raise the water rate any higher than that. I think it will affect them too much. Larry has some issues with the small raise that we did. Anyway, that's the situation right now. Any questions about it, I'd be happy to answer.
Let's go to the board for questions then. Commissioner Adams?
So it says here that you have an assessed valuation in the community of $5 million. So that raises how much tax money for you. Where do you get your money to operate your community?
All the money that we operate the community comes from water bills and property taxes.
So how much money do you get a year in property taxes?
You don't know what the full budget is, like around $35,000 or something for the year. $5 million would probably be closer to $50,000.
Yeah. We have
1% tax.
It just looks to me like if anybody needed help,
they do.
This community needs help.
I second that motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we approve the loan.
We have a motion approve by Commissioner grant. Adams to move the priority list as presented, a second by Commissioner Matthews.
Suspending funds.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say suspending.
Yeah, I said suspending funds.
Yeah, I'm deaf in this one here. Suspended fund and a second by Commissioner Matthews. We have a question by Mr. Galecki.
You mentioned you had about 3 miles of line, about 4-inch line that needed to be replaced.
Yes, the whole line actually needs to be replaced, but
I guess that's where I was getting at.
The whole line needs to be replaced, but we have that section that is completely substandard.
So why is the other part 6-inch? Why does it need to be replaced?
Because that's with these water hammer that causes breaks in the line. It's also compromised the integrity of the rest of the line.
and the drop in the line where the, I mean, it's just like a sinkhole.
That's what I think.
Commissioner Potter?
I just have to ask the engineering question again. Because last time we said it was Forest Service, we're going to blame it on 20% this time. What are we going to blame it on?
I don't think it's
20%.
It is.
It's 18 and
4. Does that include the study?
I don't know what it is. Pre-construction professional and construction engineering. So, again, it's a 20% tab. And a small community bringing in $50,000 a year, if it were your money, I don't think you'd be paying 20% in your engineering.
There's a hydrogeologic study. They only have one power source right now. But part of that, I'm assuming that included as part of that calculation, is a study for future, or an additional water source.
Typically, our studies would be on separate funding than what these are. Again, just the question, we're seeing continued issues with this, Mayor. So I'm not saying that it's not due and that it won't. It's not what it would be required, and I'm supportive of your project. But again, this is, we continue to see this time after time. And it's a problem on small communities. If we were to turn around and give this to you at an interest rate, it would cost you money. You know, 20% of your project, you'd be paying interest on it. So I think that we just need you to understand that it's a deep cost.
Mr. Berwick?
Just being the lawyer here, this hammer, was it a manufacturer defect, or did somebody cause it, or was it a natural cause?
Okay, so with this, we don't exactly know the order of events. But because of the air valves over the years have corroded, and so they weren't working properly, and we don't know if that caused the water hammer and in turn caused the loss of suction from the well, or if the well air locked and caused the water hammer down the line that blew out that particular length of pipe. We don't know what's. And we're not exactly sure that's what it is, but according to the rural water guy that we have working for us down there, he believes that that's what it was with the water hammer caused by some type of air unit or decision or restriction.
So it wasn't a manufacturer defect is what
you're talking about? No.
Because that may be a way to recover some of these funds if it was not.
We're pretty sure it was an engineering defect.
That's why they went to 20%?
Yeah, exactly. They only paid 12% first time on engineering. That's what they got.
Exactly.
Other questions before we call the question? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain?
Thank you very much.
Chad will have a check at the door for you. Just kidding. But you'll get with Gal and...
I appreciate Frank Potter, you know, and his thoughtfulness and bringing it up, and we worked with his engineering question. Could we schedule some time to work through a little bit more on this instead of just having a reaction to an agenda item? And I'm thinking about Moab. So some of you are thinking about how to put out some guidance for standards. And that way, I think the applicants have a better idea that they need to think about and watch it. But it's
we'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
That's a good point.
If you're willing to spend some extra time after our funding meeting, let's do that. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that, Commissioner.
Chief, can I make one brief comment to think about for that conversation? Half of the cost for this project was construction management. So it was 10% roughly of design and this special study they were talking about, and the other half of that 20% was the construction matter. That means the engineer has someone there regularly on site during construction, so take that into consideration too. That's a good thing. Those of you that remember the Laverton project that didn't have any construction management 3 years ago, the entire system failed. We don't want that to happen, so there's a balance. Right.
There is.
I was going to say, but at the same time, as you compute that into hours and what that really is, that's where I'm going with that, is that we can have that kind of creep in any of our projects. It doesn't matter the county, it doesn't matter the city. We have those issues that we're going to have to deal with. And believe me, if I was paying interest on it, I would be watching it.
As an example on that, so that's $40,000. Let's say it's $100 an hour. That's $400 or 4,000 hours. So that is two full-time people for a whole year.
A year.
And again, when it's someone else's money, it's easy to spend.
Could there be a possibility that staff could look at some government and non-government contracts that just gives us kind of a, I mean, I know what I see out in our area, 4% of engineering, and it would be nice if we had a basis that were, gives us again a ballpark, because engineering costs as a percent are much higher that we're seeing than what
we're
accustomed
to.
Yeah.
Here's
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have
staff
do that. The state does have guidelines on predictive engineering online on the state person website.
We'll look at those and provide a summary.
The thought that I had along those lines is, let's say, periodically, let's say you had an outside engineering firm on retainer, so to speak, and you fund them for $5,000 or $10,000 per quarter, however long, and then if staff felt that they had some, you know, just wanted randomly, almost like an audit, let's say, check it out and...
Good point, and we'll think about it over the next month as we bring all this, and we'll have a good discussion, and we'll try to frame it, have staff provide some basic information. The next item on the agenda is a board member discussion, not the one we're having. No, where's one more time? In your red folder, there was a planning and study CIB 50% match summary. To frame the situation a little bit for everyone, we had an application that came before the board this trimester. It came at the beginning of the trimester. As you all know, we're getting towards the end of the trimester, and staff has been working with the applicant to make sure that it was a complete applicant. And those rules are summarized a little bit here on the sheet for you. Staff doesn't necessarily approve or disapprove of applications, but they are tasked with making sure that the application is complete and complies with the requirements that the board has established. So this particular application had a couple of things with it. One of those is that they did not have the requisite 50% match. And so the rule states that normally a match is required. So if you look at the rule, it says normally, which is something that we need to address as a board as to what that means to this board. So whenever you do these type of policy reviews, you look at the law, and then you look at the practice and the precedent. And the practice and precedent with this board has been that every planning request comes in with a 50% match. So it's something that, even though it says normally, heretofore that's been interpreted as that has always been required. So with an application coming forward that doesn't have that, the question is, how does the board want to deal with applications that don't meet the match? Or, you know, maybe you want to look at it a little broader, any application that doesn't meet the requirements. Is staff authorized to hold those until they meet the requirements, including the match requirement? Or does the board want to allow those type of applications to come forward, and then the board will make decisions on whether or not it does? Most of our rules are fairly clear. We have a number of guidelines that we've been very generous with over the years. You know, things like the $5 million maximum, and how we kind of decide funding, which we talked about a lot today with these projects. You know, we have guidelines, and we've been a little loosey-goosey with those. The 50% match is one that we've held a really firm stance on in the past. And so that's the discussion. There are good reasons why we require the 50% match on planning grants. They're basically outlined here. With the last two projects, were a good example of why we do require the match. Generally, you're talking fairly small amounts of money with our planning and studies and things like that. As we get into larger projects, more infrastructure projects, you get into EIS, the NEPA, and all of those types of things, you're no longer talking about thousands of dollars or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sometimes you're talking about billions of dollars. That's compounded. That makes coming up with a match very difficult because you're talking a lot of money that generally local jurisdictions and counties can't come up with. On the other hand, the CIB is going to be, I'll use the term investing, funding a significant amount of money, not knowing whether or not that's a good investment or not. So we're getting into an area that needs to be discussed. So that kind of frames why we're having this conversation. Commissioner McKee, we'll start with you.
Yes, I'd actually like to speak to that just a little bit. I think it's a healthy discussion we're having, Keith, and I appreciate that. As you pointed, the rule says normally, the board has the ability, which we do on other kind of situations, where we will say, does the board want to hear something under special consideration? And there is a particular project that this really did come in from, it's from the request from the Six County organization. I don't know if it's really appropriate to really take time to hear that today, but I think the board serves best when we have flexibility. I really feel like we serve the very best when we have that flexibility to be able to look at. I like what the rule says is normally. I would say though, maybe it was the way that this application, a previous application was heard. There was an air quality study one time that the board did approve $1 million that the board did authorize that went forward. So, but anyway, from my point of view, I think there's some value to be able to hear some of these projects. And let me just, if I can speak to this real quick, because I think maybe if the board concurs with this, it would be a project that could come forward next month. But we've had some discussions about the Six County organization. And that particular area of what we do has so much to do with our oil and gas, our revenue that we have coming into the board itself. And the ability to be able to be able to create the very kind of things we've talked about with public-private partnerships, the very kind of things that we're trying to do, and so that it doesn't happen day one, but if we can move this forward, and this is the value, I think, of the board hearing these projects, that we begin to find a way to self-fund as we move down the road, organization like Six County, that then again fuels the opportunities for economic development, fuels our opportunity for mineral lease money. And so I think there is some real value in being able to have the flexibility to be able to bring it forward under special consideration if the board says, we'd rather not hear that. And I think the question you had, Keith, was, okay, so there's a group that would like to hear it. Do we automatically put it on? Maybe a good compromise in the middle it would be to say, we have an applicant before us, just like we do a special consideration. The rule says normally, this is how we would do it. Would the board like to hear this today? And it gives us that flexibility. That would be my hope that we do.
Good comments.
Commissioner Hardy? And I certainly appreciate what Commissioner McKee says. And as a funder of many respects, I always love flexibility for a lot of reasons. But there's also a balance, and we've seen it today in applications that, you want to be consistent and apply the same standards within the parameters that you're given as a board. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I do like flexibility, but there's a reason why you have
parameters outside, you know, outlined in the board? Have you parameters outlined in your rules, in the law, that help guide, you know, our steps going forward? Otherwise, we'll spend a lot of time with a little bit of mission creep. I mean, that can easily happen with unlimited flexibility. And I'm not saying this is an unlimited flexibility. I know the suggestion being made is a lot more limited than that, but I think that is something to keep in mind, that although we want to have flexibility, that in the fairness to all the applications we see on a regular basis, consistency is probably an important element to think of as well.
That's what I was going to add, Jonathan, is trying to institute some consistency, because we have tendency not to be consistent, but we have some guidelines.
So as a public entity, of course, we require part of this. And like Monday did, I have that blue Bible that I referred to, but Candace gave it to me and said, read it. Read it twice. So I read that every time before I come to this school to make sure that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. Flexibility is good, yes, why? But at the same time, public, they expect the same kind of hair treatment. If the answer was yesterday, no, should be also today, because there's also a precedent for the purpose that we have to, as a public officer, and board members to mandate that.
I'm just thinking, you know, the six county organization has no ability to come up with matching funds, and so they're trying to get to the point where they have created some income for themselves so that they could. So I think it's almost a chicken and egg deal until that organization gets up and running, so that they can create some matching funds to do what they can do. I think it's incumbent upon the board to work with them. Many of those counties are the highest producers, you know, and they're trying to continue to fight that battle to remain high producers, so that the board has these funds to function. So I think if we make that rule hard and fast right now, I think you're just saying six county go away. I think what the six counties trying to do is to help this board survive during tough times, you know. So I would hope that there would be some flexibility until the six county could get a project going, that they could have the ability to come in with matching funds.
I think we have to have vision. I think, you know, we can become in the state of Utah whatever we want to be. If we're vision minded and we look at the opportunities before us, I mean, I'm going to just real quick, I'll do this because I know these facts of my own county and in the Uinta Basin. With 111 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, five times more oil than in Saudi Arabia, the only place in the world that gilsonite is commercially harvested, half of the oil sands in the United States is found in eastern Utah. And with a six-county organization, of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to do, the ability to be able to develop our resources, the ability to be able to fund this board, because frankly, this is where the money comes from. And what I don't want to have happen is we have some rule that doesn't let us see us to where we can actually do the very kind of things. And if the board, which we don't have time today, if we could see the things that we're trying to do, I have confidence that every board member here would say, boy, we need to be doing that. I really do. But that's just my feeling. So I do think, rather than just having a hard, fast rule that says we don't even want to look at something, is from my point of view, narrow-minded.
Let's go to Commissioner Potter and then Commissioner Wanker.
I was just going to follow along with what Bruce was talking about, too, and that is that, you know, the number of years ago when we talked about infrastructure and large infrastructure projects, and that's, I think that those projects themselves bring a whole different approach and uniqueness about them. There's not going to be one of them that we're going to be able to cookie cutter and say, this is what's going to happen with this particular project. And part of it is that vision of saying, where does our economic strength come from? And I don't mean as in economic development, I mean as in economic strength for the state of Utah, but also for the eastern side of the state where these funds are produced. Where does that come from? And that comes from having the infrastructure in place. I know that applications are made, but if this was an application that had had no effort in putting any kind of money together or any kind of time, I would feel differently regardless of whether I'm part of that or not. But there is already significant monies that have been, you know, expended. And I think that maybe is a better gauge instead of a hard, fast rule of 50-50 of what have been the efforts. And why is, and then the next question is why is that application even being put forward to this board? Is it because of lack of time and monies that have been put in? Or is it that next step in infrastructure that says this is what's required for this to go forward, which releases oil and gas, which releases coal, which releases the gilsonite? It wouldn't matter what, you know, what type of a situation it is. It would be there. And yet I understand that, you know, in all the counties that produce, we are being pinched just like you. I mean, I would love to be one that could say, well, we'll go to our special service district and have them put more money in. But at this point in time, you know, it doesn't happen. Now, that's not this board's fault. That's just a matter of the economic environment. So for me, there are those two steps of what has been done, what needs to be done, and what is it as it applies to infrastructure. And that changes the dynamic of what we really look at in our applications. And also as we go forward in funding other projects. I mean, it's going to be a very different looking application, different looking studies and then requirements before we spend large amounts on infrastructure itself.
Mr. Whitney? I agree with what Commissioner Potter said. But, you know, as I've been a commissioner and I've watched this board operate, it seems to me like in past years there was a lot more applicants that were put on the pending list. Now, lately, you know, we sent one back or put it on there today, but that just doesn't happen because I think the staff does a really good job in what we would say normally is a complete application. But there are, I think, times when if the board members feel like we should see one that maybe, according to the staff, is not complete, we should be able to consider it. And the worst case is that it's going to be put on the pending list. But I think that the board ought to hear it because it comes back to the scenario that if we're trying to increase and help the mineral production of the state, we need to consider those projects that will do just that. I mean, if you look back to the rail study and we did it in conjunction with UDOT, I mean, that study came out and said what the state is going to leave on the table if they do nothing. That spurred a lot of discussion and thinking outside of the box. And so I think that's why I think sometimes these projects need to be considered, not just the staff is holding on them, but let's think outside of the box because the staff does a really good job, but I think that we have enough people on this board that can think outside of the box. What is the possibilities if we do this? And like Commissioner Potter said, some of these have already put great lengths of money and time and effort into these projects. If it was just, well, let's see if they'll fly, I have a different opinion about that because I'm not one that wants to put an investment in a lot of concepts that haven't been proven. But if they have relatively a lot of time and effort and money put into it, then I think that the board needs to consider those. So I would maybe just put out that if there are projects like this, that if there's enough board members that feel like we ought to hear it, whether it's complete or not, let's do it and let's screen it. Appreciate that. Commissioner Manson?
You know, in looking at what we're about and what we're trying to accomplish, for me personally, it's a lot easier to think about how we generate more revenue and therefore have more to enjoy across the board as such. And coming from an area, and every time I look at that rainbow sheet, I kind of come and duck my head. I think we'd all be better served if there was more revenue in total. And I think we ought to be looking at seeking those sources, even if there's some sense of uncertainty, what might be possible, whether it's market-driven or is it the prospect of a given project. But I think the debate is really important, and that we discuss that thoroughly to the extent that we do all that we can to assure ourselves that we haven't left anything in the ground. And I'd like to see us either approach this from the standpoint of how to deal with the rule itself and clarify some of this, or in operations and the way we go about our business, be able to create those opportunities that will last longer, you know, than just a project that might satisfy somebody's splash pad or something of that sort.
Thank you, Jason. On this page 2, section E, we talk about that each applicant should have one form or at least one form of public hearing. In the past few years, when I've read the minutes of each of these meetings, the total minute of the meeting was only between 1 to 5 minutes, if any, and the number of attendance was just 1 or 2 public. So are they just meeting for the purpose of to just formally to tell us that they have met this part of the obligations for the application, or they really announcing posting this public hearing to let us know that they really have some discussions and the public and the community is really involved in the decision making of how much loan, how much grant, what kind of interest rate, and if the project is good for the community? Because I have never seen any meeting more than 5 minutes, and attendance more than maybe 1 or 2, and that person is just there. I don't know how you clinch that particular public hearing.
Can I just comment on that? I think Mr. Denotti brings up a good point. Those public meetings, they're advertised, they're in the paper, you encourage people to come, you hope people come. Sometimes you might get, you know, 8 or 10 or 12. Our 6 county meetings, we get a little more than that because we come from 6 counties. So we get, you know, generally a little more attendance for that, especially some of these small communities. The people that's required to be there is usually the ones that's there, and that's about it, you know. And I think it is a challenge, but the bottom line is, I think at least there is a public process. People can't say, I didn't know about it, it's in the paper, it's been advertised, and I think that's at least what we're trying to do here is, let's make sure people can't come back and say, you know, there wasn't good transparency, we didn't give people an opportunity. At least we have... And maybe we can even do more, but I think there's at least a strong effort to try and say, we have good transparency, we advertise in the paper, we're trying to let people know. We can't round them up too easy, but...
Go to Mr. Hardy and
then
So,
this is a really great discussion. I'm glad that all this stuff is getting on the table. I would probably say the reason why there's not a lot of public participation is just all of us vote with our wallets. I mean, there's no tax or fee imposed on the general public for membership in the 6 County Infrastructure Coalition. So I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of public participation unless you say you're raising a fee or you're raising their taxes or you're really putting those types of things on the table. You know, so I don't disagree with the fact that everything is as public as it should be. I just don't think that there's going to be, unless we're talking a process whereby we're putting skin in the game, and I think this gets to the point of why we've had this 50-50 match on planning grants, is that the whole concept of skin in the game is that you believe in the project as much as you want the board to believe in the project that you're bringing forward, even if it's a step, that's kind of the concept that's being brought forth. And I appreciate the fact that there's no revenue source right now, but I think this is the standard we need to set for future interlocals of any type of this nature. I mean, anybody could set up an interlocal like this with no revenue source and probably come make the same pitch that we want the board to go forward with this and be the funder on it. And I think that's the standard we need to come up with. Who is putting the skin in the game besides the board? And the reason why you have the match is that and there is ways to generate revenue. I appreciate the fact that the counties that are participating in this, that may not be the highest priority. They may feel like they don't have budget to participate at that level, but that is the whole purpose of an interlocal, is to merge entities together to put skin in the game for the purpose of the organization. So
I don't want to say I'm for or against anything, but I would appreciate a little bit of parameters around the consideration going forward. I'm fairly uncomfortable with unlimited parameters, but if we can put some parameters around how we expect this to proceed forward, because if we go forward with unlimited flexibility on any interlocal coming in that doesn't have a revenue source, if that's the standard we're setting, that's probably not the standard we want to hold to long term. I think we need to put some parameters around it. And I certainly appreciate the things that have been mentioned today. And again, I'm supportive of the ways that we can generate revenue for the board, but you'll notice that all the applications we consider, that's not the consideration we take for funding those projects. It's for the public infrastructure for those communities that are impacted. That is the mission of the primary mission of the board. These are ancillary things that are going to help the revenue to the board long term, and I appreciate that, and I certainly want to see the fund grow, and because we can do more projects in the community, but I would hope that we have a little bit more understanding around what those parameters would be.
Thank you. Candace, did you have something?
Or just a comment on the planners. When we go around and do our tutorials, we know that they have the discussions, they just are not reflected. You can't make people attend, but when we do our tutorials, we say, you make that record. You make that record say what you said, and say it to each other if you have to, because that's your record. That's the permanent record. As far as this application, that's the same. The chairman sets the agenda. It didn't meet the parameters of 50% cash match, which they all do. The air quality one did. About 61% of the air quality application was CID funding, so it wasn't quite that benchmark, but it came very, very close. So I appreciate this discussion too. The board does have a tendency to send back little applicants, and they haven't been big ones, but you need to redo your public hearing, because either it's stale, it was, you know, a year ago, or you didn't discuss this. They'll either have a second public hearing, because it's not a hardship to have it in a council meeting. And then they come back with new public hearing minutes. They're not great, but I appreciate all the comments. I appreciate you, Jonathan.
Let's go with Commissioner Ogden. You haven't spoken yet.
Okay, I found the application. Maybe it could be something of revenue based. But I mean, you know, this is the funding source that helps us on the CIB. I guess that would be one of the things that you could look at. You know, the revenue source goes back to that coalition, and what's that going to do long term for CIB? Maybe that's something you could put on there, and that might be clear as mud. But I'm trying to get a little bit of an idea of if these applications, if you get big applications coming in, you got to link that somehow to what you are doing from mineral extraction, or oil, or gas, or coal, whatever. And that may be something you'd have to look at. You wouldn't have just everybody coming in.
Well, as a board, I think we do a pretty good job of looking at that, the impact and mitigating the impact, but also the other side of that is it going to really facilitate, you know, the continuing of the resource. So that's something I think as individual board members we've done a good job of looking at. We'd certainly be interested in entertaining any specific suggestions you have for amending the application. I can't think of how you do that yet, but I do know that that is certainly a criteria that we all look at with each application, Commissioner.
The other question I have, and it's kind of a broader discussion that I've had a little bit, and that has to do with how items get on an agenda. And I'm going to do this broadly for a minute. If you're in a county commission, and we've all county commissioners taking turns being chair and different things. When I've been the chair of my county commission, any county commissioner that wants an item on an agenda, even whether I agree with it or disagree with it, it goes on an agenda. If it's something that's important to one of the county commissioners, I will put it on an agenda for the discussion. I had Heather Hoyt, you know, this was some months ago, look at, you know, the state law and how do we get items on the agenda, if, you know, and essentially, if you look at various state boards, it appeared that generally if there were three board members that wanted something on an agenda, it could be put on an agenda. And so when you look at the CIB board itself, it was the old law, the controlling law, that appeared to be three, but that was updated a little bit this year, and so it's a little unclear. But a lot of the other state boards have stayed with three board members. And so, again, I'm wondering if maybe that might be a threshold that we look at. If there's several board members that would like to have it considered ahead of time, that might be a way of doing it. Especially if it's in a rule that says generally or normally, you know, if it's something that's just outside of our rules, then I think that's another story. But anyway, that's another thought there. But I think that broader conversation might be value we talk about a little bit as far as just how we put things on an agenda sometimes. I do believe there is value. This is the CIB board. If there's something that's important to board members to be able to put on there, I think we ought to have the ability to do it.
And I can only speak with certainty going back, you know, 15, 16 months, but to my knowledge, there's never been an item
right.
that the chairman has not placed on
right.
an agenda when it's been requested. So we may be looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. The issue here was the match requirements specifically with planning and incomplete applications in general. And I think what you suggested at the beginning, Commissioner McKee, is wholly appropriate that, you know, we bring it to the board's attention and then place it on special consideration so that it does require the vote to be considered. And that gives everyone opportunity to say this is why it's being placed under special consideration, because it meets these requirements or doesn't meet these requirements, or this is what makes it special. And move forward. So as far as the language normally, that is in administrative rule, is it not?
Yes.
So that can be changed. So if anyone feels strongly that is a bad term, a bad phrase, and would like to change that, we can do that. If everyone is comfortable with that, then we'll stay that way until someone says otherwise. So if everyone's agreeable to bringing the application in question and future applications that are similar to this under special consideration, that is how we will move forward, you know, not withholding something from the agenda unless the board's desire is not to hear it. So is that agreeable? That's the sense that I'm getting. So. Anything else that the board members would like to discuss be placed on a future agenda? I think we've had some good conversations. Again, next month will be an interesting funding meeting. I'm curious how our balance sheets are going to come out once we've looked at everything. We may have to make some tough decisions, so be prepared for those. Regardless, we have a couple of items that will be very healthy discussions, and looking forward to that. Again, appreciate your service. It is no small sacrifice to sit on this board, as Mr. Zanotti so poignantly pointed out. You know, he reviews the guidebook on a monthly basis. Just reviewing the packet on a monthly basis takes hours. And then trying to get up to speed on all the rules and regulations takes hours. And then sitting in these board meetings, I know it's hours, sometimes it feels like days. Thank you very much. We appreciate each and every one of you. With that, we'll take a motion to adjourn.